Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave and the stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning, Grace Point. Whoa. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good morning. Is it just me? That sounds very loud. Is it? No, it's okay to you? All right. I won't have to scream while I'm preaching today. We are glad you're here. Thank you so much for being a part of our time of worship together. And we're glad you're among us. So we've got a lot going on today. We're excited. You see all these boxes up here today, shoe boxes. We're going to be talking about that in just a little while. And how many of you were here last night? Anybody here? Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. I want to listen. When anyone puts on an event like last night, it takes a lot of people involved. And in general, we want to say thank you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for buying tickets. Thank you for being here. It's all going to be used for God's kingdom's growth, and we're very grateful. There are some folks, though, I do want to mention that kind of stood out above others. First of all, this whole idea came about the Growing Grace Campaign Committee. As you know, Growing Grace is our campaign we're in now to renovate our church and to continue to grow our church. We had a committee meeting several weeks ago now, and there was a lady that said, well, how about we do something like a fish fry? And I said, fish fry. And then had ideas here and there all about it. You would have think this woman has done this before. And it was from her mind and her heart under God's leadership that all this was put together. Miss Sandy Aldrich, give Sandy a big hand. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And we had so many folks helping, cooking, going places. It's just incredible. Loria was a standout. Loria, we're grateful for you. And give Loria, I don't know if she's in here yet. And as far as the staff go, the person that led this from our staff perspective was Jason Ridge. Give Jason a big hand right there. We're grateful, man. Grateful. So we don't know how much money that has raised yet. I think after church, we're going back over there for some final bidding on some of the things that are still on the tables. So if you haven't done that or you want to go back and see if your price is still the highest price. And what? Oh, there's more baked goods there too? Very good. But we'll do that after church. What I think is after the sermon's done and we do the response time, everybody's going to respond that way. But just hang on. Just hang on. We'll be good. All right, let's pray together. Well, wait, we didn't do fellowship yet, did we? Stand up. If you didn't see somebody last night, find them this morning and greet them. Greet them now. So it's a fun time with the Operation Christmas Child boxes, and someone's having some fun. I didn't notice this until just now. Many of you know I don't like amphibians. It's not that I don't like them. I think they're great, but I don't touch them. I'm afraid of them. So I'm walking around up here while you're walking around, and someone has placed a little frog here. I come back behind the pulpit, and there are frogs on my water down here. So I'm like, who did that? You need to be punished. You just need to be punished. All right. Well, let's pray together as we get started. I want to read this verse for you, though. This verse goes along with what we're going to talk about today, Ephesians 2:10. Paul wrote this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus." Why? "For good works, which God prepared in advance so that we would walk in them." That verse is prophetic. Paul's writing it for his readers at the church at Ephesus, but it's prophetic because we centuries later are still God's handiwork, created in Jesus. Why? For good works that God prepared in advance so we would walk in them. Growing grace. God knew about that before the beginning of time, and he's allowing us to participate in it now. Now let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for last night, everyone who helped in that, everyone who contributed, everyone who purchased things. May you use all of what we get from that monetarily to continue our program of growing grace until it is completed, and not just what it will do for our campus and for our buildings, but what it will do for reaching people for Jesus. Bless our time of worship, Lord. We give it to you to honor you, to bless you, and to praise you, because you are good and you deserve our praise. We ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a pretty incredible video, wasn't it? To think a box of stuff could go from here to there in the hands of a child whose life would literally be turned around for the better blows me away. Thank you for being faithful with our Operation Christmas Child Christmas boxes once again this year. So every year we do this, we have a time of prayer and dedication, and the way we do it is this. If you'd like to come down front, we would invite you to do so. You don't have to. Your prayers are heard from wherever you are. But some of you like to come down front and just be in front of these boxes, lay hands on these boxes, so we can pray God's blessings upon them. If you want to come down front, do that right now. So we'll go ahead and pray. Some of you will come. We'll give you time to get here, and we'll lay our hands there on the boxes, and one of our young folks here, Miss Kayla, is going to pray the prayer of blessing on our boxes as we do this together. You guys out there, pray with us and ask God to use these boxes as a miracle in people's lives, okay? Kayla, pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your love through these Operation Christmas Child boxes. We pray for every child who received one, and they would feel your joy, peace, and presence, and hope in each side of these gifts. Bless the hands that pack these boxes and the hearts that they give. May every toy, every note, and every prayer be a reminder of your great love. Lord, go before these boxes, go through customs overseas and into homes, guiding them safely to the children who need them most. Open hearts to the message of Jesus Christ, and may each box plant seeds of faith. Use small acts of giving to bring light where there is darkness, comfort where there is loneliness, and salvation where there is searching. We entrust these gifts and every child into you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you, Kayla. Here's an idea. Let's put these in the boxes, all right? We'll put those, each one can have one, and we'll be good to go. I've been in a series of messages called Securing Success for Growing Grace. Growing Grace is a renovation and reaching out to others program that we've been in here at our church for a little while now, and we've looked at a few things we need to do to secure success for growing grace. We need to maintain our vision that God's given us for our church. And we need to stick to the basics. There's nothing magical about this. We stick to the basics that God tells us we need to be doing. If you haven't heard those messages, you can go online and listen to them. Today, part three of this series, is going to be talking to you about how God will work through you. If you have the outlines, get ready to take some notes and underline that word will in the title. God will work through you. in life in general and through growing grace. Today we're going to look at and talk about a gentleman by the name of Noah, who as an ordinary person, God used in tremendous ways. Now I'm going to start at the end of Noah's life, because it is there that we see part of why we know that Noah was an ordinary, everyday, normal person. Sometimes when we hear of biblical characters, we think and idealize them as people way above us, and that's not true at all. Now let me share with you a spiritual truth in the form of a warning. You can fill this in. The warning is this, that even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. In an NFL game played on December 17th, 2022, the Indianapolis Colts were leading the Minnesota Vikings 33-0 at halftime. It was a shoe-in win for the Colts, as no team in NFL history had ever come back from a deficit that large at halftime. Never happened before. Yet while they were poised to put another notch in their win column, the Vikings came back and beat them in overtime 39-36. The Colts thought they had it, they were a shoe-in, that they were going to win, but they were tripped up just before the finish line. I'll say it one more time. Even godly people can be tripped up just before the finish line. Look at this verse for me, these couple of verses in Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. It says, after the flood, Noah became a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. One day he became drunk on some of the wine he made, and he lay naked in his tent. This is the epilogue to Noah's life. The Bible says that here was a man who lived blameless his entire life, the only godly man in all the world at that time when the flood came, who had faith. He had persistence, he had availability, he had all these great things that God said about him. He built the ark. And after the flood subsided, he got some dry land, and the Bible says he built a vineyard and he fermented his grapes. And I guess grape wine made Noah's clothes fall off. Because the Bible said he was laying naked in his tent, making a fool of himself. And Noah, who lived perfectly when everybody else was blowing it, now he blows it. If Noah had never done anything wrong in his life, we'd say he's perfect, so I could never be like Noah. But the fact is, Noah was imperfect, just like us. And so, yes, God can use you in ways you can't even imagine. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, look what the Bible says. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So a question I want us to consider this morning is, why did God choose Noah? When God destroyed the world with a flood, archaeologists tell us there were about 1 million people living in the world in that day. So Noah really was one in a million. Why did God choose Noah? Look at the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Why did God choose Noah? Because God looked at his heart. And Noah had a heart for God. He wasn't perfect, but he desired to be the person that God wanted him to be and to do the things that God wanted him to do. So this morning, I want us to see four different characteristics of the type of the person that God uses based on Noah. If you want to go back and read it in Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, we can glean some characteristics about Noah, and that it informs us then the type of person God uses. And it will be people like me and you. So number one, God used Noah because Noah was available. He was available. God looked down, he found no man, no one he could use, and there's Noah. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One reason God could use Noah wasn't because he was perfect, but it was because he was available. 1 million people on the earth, but God could only find one person who was available to be used by him. Listen, folks, in God's eyes, availability is way more important than ability. You don't have to be able to do some things great, one thing great, a lot of things. You just have to say, God, here I am. I'm available. Use me. I'm here. God used a child's lunch to feed 15,000 people because he was available. A story is told of a gentleman by the name of Tony Campolo, who's a Christian professor of sociology back in the East. He was invited to speak at a college in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. He drove to the college, and before he was to speak, several men took him in the back room. They said, "We want to have prayer for you." And that was not uncommon. They did that quite a bit. And while they were back in the room and praying for him and around him, one of the people praying said, "Lord, about Bert Harris. Bert Harris, Lord, Bert Harris needs you really badly. Lord, Bert Harris lives in that trailer down the street. He's considering leaving his wife and family. And Lord, if you could just get through to Bert Harris, that would be great." Tony Campolo thought that was a little bit strange. This person paying for someone here and telling God where he lives, I kind of think God might know. But he didn't think much about it. Went out and did his speech. Everything went well. He's on his way home. Now, Tony Campolo, back in the day, did the same thing. Picked up hitchhikers. He'd like to help people, and then he figured he'd tell them about Jesus. I remember my little Volkswagen, a baby blue Volkswagen, from Baltimore, Maryland, down to Bluefield, Virginia. I'd pick up somebody if they'd ride with me because they couldn't get out. I'd tell them to open up my little glove compartment. Right in there is a little track. I said, "Let's look at that. What are they going to do?" So Tony picked up this guy, was going to help him, give him a ride. He said, "I know you're not supposed to pick up hitchhikers, but I do it." So I picked up this gentleman, and Tony said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Bert Harris." Tony Campolo stopped the car, turned it around, and immediately headed in the opposite direction. The man said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm taking you back to your wife and family who you're trying to leave." The man went, "What?" They drove straight up to the man's trailer, and he said, "How do you know where I live?" And Tony said, "God told me." Went back in, worked with him, and over the course of time, that family got back together. They were healed, and they stayed together, and they started serving God. You know why Tony Campolo could do that? Because he was available. "Here I am, God. What do you want me to do?" Folks, God uses us not because of our abilities, but because we are available. If you will say, "God, I'm here, use me," he will. He most certainly will. That's what he did with Noah. Make yourself available for our Growing Grace ministry. God will use you in ways you never even thought about. If you say, "God, I want to be involved in Growing Grace, here's what I can do, I'm not," and just say, "God, I'm here," and if you don't know what he wants, just wait. He'll let you know when, he'll let you know where, he'll let you know how. Make yourself available. Number two, God used Noah also because Noah dared to be different. He dared to be different. Genesis 6:9 says this, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Underline that phrase where it says he was blameless among the people of his time. Morally, Noah was a man of deep conviction. He dared to be different. He was not afraid to stand out. He was not afraid to stand alone. He wasn't afraid of what other people might think of him or say about him. He wasn't out to win a popularity contest. He dared to be different. At this point in history, society was morally bankrupt. In Genesis, in verses 11 and 12, it says that there was corruption, violence, and immorality. Sounds like we just listened to the news last week. Think about the criticism that Noah probably received building an ark when it hadn't even rained yet. Ah, there goes Noah. He's a crackpot. Old man Noah building a boat. To go where? I could see him in the grocery store talking about him on the next aisle. He probably got pressure from his family. I'm sure he did. How would you have liked to have been Noah's kids? Go to school every day. People making fun of you. People saying your dad is nuts. What's going on here? And it would have been very, very difficult. Could you put up with being misunderstood and criticized year after year because of your convictions? Conformity is often the enemy of Christianity. Noah wasn't afraid to stand alone. While everybody else was going to the dogs, he said, I won't participate in those things. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be the person that God wants me to be. He was blameless among the people of that time. Look at Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man is a dangerous trap. That means if you worry about what other people think, you're going to be in trouble. Who cares what other people think about you? Why do you let that bother you? I don't care what people think about me. I don't. Now, I want to make sure I'm walking the way God wants me to, that I'm in line and all. I'm not saying I'll go do stuff that will get me. No. If I'm walking the way God wants me to walk and I'm doing the best I can do, I don't care. You can tell me, and I don't know, I won't be impolite. You can tell me, but in my head I'm going, I don't care. I don't care. I care about people who love me, and if I'm getting off course, they want to correct me, I care. But people who just want to yap about me, I don't care. Neither should you. Why let what other people think bother you, get under your skin, play with your mind, hurt your heart? Don't let them have that power of them over them. Become a pastor and get a hard heart. And you won't care. Jason, do you care? I won't ask John. I know he cares. I got the worst heart of all three of us. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man is a dangerous trap. Don't get caught up in it. What gave him the confidence to be so different for so many years? Genesis 6:9, it says, he walked with God. That's why. He wasn't perfect, but he had fellowship with God. He had a relationship with God that gave him the strength to say, I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else does. I'm going to follow God to the best of my ability. And I'm going to be imperfect. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make wrong choices. But we're doing our best to walk with God. God used Noah because Noah was available, because Noah dared to be different. And number three, because Noah followed God completely. He followed God completely. The people God uses are people who follow directions without making excuses. In Genesis 6:22, look what it says. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. It doesn't say he did some of the things the way God wanted him to, or that he did most of the things that the way God wanted him to. He said he did everything that God commanded him. Genesis 7:5, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Not some, but all. It was unconditional obedience. Now think about it. The project that God gave to Noah to accomplish didn't make sense for several reasons. One, the Bible says that until the time of the flood, it had never rained. In Genesis 2, it says that the way the earth was watered was a mist came up from the ground, kind of like dew in the morning. It was a whole different atmosphere than we know today. It hadn't rained, and he's building an ark in the middle of a desert. They said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building an ark. Why? Because it's going to rain. They said, what's rain? They had no idea. Secondly, it didn't make sense to build the ark at this time because not only had it never rained, Noah was 500 miles from the largest body of water, the Mediterranean Ocean. 500 miles. How is he going to get that boat 500 miles from where he was to the water? It didn't make sense. Third, the greatest thing was how in the world was God going to round up all those animals? Only God could do something like that. How would you explain it? You can't explain that. But if God can create the world, he can round up the animals of the world. So the thing about Noah is he didn't argue. He didn't complain. He didn't explain it away. He said, all right, Lord, whatever you say. Folks, one of the real tests of faith in life is how do I follow God's will? Do I follow his instructions even when they don't make sense to me? Do I follow his instructions even when I can't understand them all or understand why? Maybe a number of parents, those of us who've been parents, can probably identify with this. Maybe your kids went through this. When you tell your kids something, one of the things they might ask you is, why? Why? Sometimes that's what we do to God. Now, if God wants to tell us why, great. But if he doesn't, it doesn't let us off the hook. If he's silent, we still become obedient. God used Noah because Noah was available. He dared to be different. He followed God completely. And number four, Noah never gave up. Noah is a key example of patience and persistence and determination. He was a hard worker. The Bible says it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. I still haven't finished painting my tiny bathroom. It's been 3 years. I just started, I was doing great, and then I quit. Put the paint away, put the brushes away. If you come to my house and use that little bathroom back in the corner back there, you're going to go, wow, he really didn't finish this. Noah never quit. Here's the question. If you want to be used by God, could you maintain enthusiasm for a project that took longer than you anticipated to complete? You think you could stay excited and keep on keeping on if you knew it was going to take your entire life to do what God called you to do? One of the reasons God doesn't use us because many people sometimes they just give up way too soon. Now, there are three things that are going to tempt you to give up. Let me list them for you. Number one, problems. Problems will tempt you to give up on God's plan for your life. There were problems with Noah building the ark. Can you imagine? How do you separate the animals in the ark? Especially the ones who like to eat each other. How are you going to do that? Number two, problems get in your way and sometimes pressures get in your way. Pressures tempt you to give up before you've accomplished your goal. I'm sure Noah must have thought a time or two, this is too big for me. This is too great. This is too much responsibility. All of the weight of the world is on me. I can't handle it. Pressure is going to make you want to give up. And third, people. People are going to want to make you give up. They're going to tempt you to give up. People will disappoint you. They will misunderstand you. They will criticize you. They will let you down. They're going to tempt you through that process to just quit, to just give up. But remember, that's not going to happen anymore because we don't care what they think, right? No problem. God can use Noah, then God can use you and me. Say, oh, I don't have the gifts, I don't have the talents, I don't have what it takes. Listen, you're missing it. It's not I, it's God using you. It's God working through you. And he can do it. Sometimes in history we learn that people who were unknown did great things. Everybody here has heard of the midnight ride of who? Paul Revere, right? You've heard of that? But did you know that he wasn't the only one riding at midnight? At the age of 16, a teenager, Sybil Ludington, also rode to alert the townspeople of the arrival of the British forces. Most of us have never heard of her, but she rode as well. It's interesting, too, because Sybil rode twice as far as Paul Revere did and did so riding side saddle. But you've never heard of her, have you? A teenager doing that kind of work? Incredible. How about Harriet Tubman? Born into slavery, she became an American abolitionist and political activist. She risked her life to lead thousands of slaves from the plantation system to freedom. In the process, she never lost one slave, not one. She's one person who made a difference in history. One of the reasons for her unrivaled success was a life principle which she lived. She said, there were one of two things that I had a right to, liberty or death. If I couldn't have one, I'd have the other. One person made a difference. You wonder if you can make a difference in the world and God wants to use you? Yes, you can. Anybody here ever heard of Sir Isaac Newton? Good old Isaac. Well known for his scientific genius, he invented calculus, he explained gravity, he developed the three major laws of motion, and he built the reflecting telescope. Pretty good stuff. You say, I could never be him. Did you know that Sir Isaac Newton suffered from mental illness? He was schizophrenic, suffered from bipolar, and he hallucinated. And yet, he was able to do those things. Don't tell me you can't do it. Yes, you can, with God. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone goes through illnesses. We all struggle. We're all broken. Don't tell me that God can't work through you. That is a faith issue. If God is God, then yes, he can. He wants to work through you. I want you to fill this in on your outline, and then we'll be done. Regarding growing grace, first, God wants to work through me. Then, God can work through me. And then God will work through me. He wants to work through me, through our growing grace process. He can work through me in our Growing Grace ministry, and He will work through me if I'll simply say, God, here I am. I avail myself to you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but here I am. Work through me. How's God going to work through you? I'm not sure of all the ways. You can pray. And praying is not the least you can do, by the way. It's the most you can do. You can pray. You can find out ways you can get involved. You can pray and ask God, how can I give financially, monetarily to this, above and beyond my tithes, my offerings? What can I give here? What can I pledge so over the next 2 years I can fulfill this pledge so we won't have to go to the bank and borrow all this money? We can go ahead and do this. I think the project was like $387,000. I'm just going from memory here. And the Growing Grace Committee and the pastors, we've already pledged $151,000. So there's $260,000 left, I think. So just ask God, how do you want me to be a part of that? With all the people we have in our church, we ought to be able to fulfill that. And we don't have to give the bank anything. Wouldn't that be nice? That'd be really sweet. You say, but I'm just one person. So was Noah. Right? All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you are God, for reminding us this morning that we're not, but also for encouraging us because we don't have to be. We don't have to be the best of the best of the best. We don't have to have all of the talents and skills and gifts that are going to take us to get through life or to get through Growing Grace. We don't have to have all of them. We just have to be like Noah. We just have to avail ourselves to you and say, God, here I am. I give my heart, my life, my mind to you. God, direct me. How can I help? How can I give? What do you want me to give above and beyond my tithes and offerings? God, what difference can I make in my school or my business, where I work? What difference can I make in my family or my friends who don't know you yet? God, use us. You used Noah. Use us. Just show us how. We'll avail ourselves to you for that. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Kevin said earlier, a lot going on in the church and all. And Joe, I don't know if you have that photo. I know we didn't get it up earlier. We had coming up. So we have all kinds of great things still happening. The work that's going on around the church and the Growing Grace. Also in the fellowship hall, I think there's a closeout of the silent auction. Thanks to everybody that helped there. We do have three new items over in the silent auction. One here, you got a bid. You can bid on this one. Amy, you may want to get this one. It's for Jason to shave his beard. That'll raise a lot. Here's another one. I think Libby put this one in. It's for Kevin to stand here and say, "Go Gamecocks." So that will, I don't know. This one could pay for the entire renovation project. And I think Alan has already got dibs on it. It's for my mic to be turned off for a week. So three new items over there. Thanks again, everybody. Well, I'm sure we'll be giving you an update on all that transpired, the funds that came in and all. So small group Bible study. You know, I hope you have a place that you go to. I know this week is also, we honor our veterans. And I don't know today if we have, Kevin, have we done that? Did you? We're going to do it next week because we have so much going here. So invite all the veterans next week, okay? And my mic may be off, so come on out. Yeah.
Everyone can go back to the
These three? Oh. Kevin wants to say go Gamecocks, so you can, no, you can go on back. It's open back there, and there's a little bake sale going as well. So feel free to go on back and do that. All right, I think that was enough for me. The mic before the mic goes off, Jason.
Let's start this like in about one, okay. Two.
Pray before the stampede goes over to the fellowship hall. Join in with me. Lord, thank you for this time of fellowship and challenge, a time to learn about how we need to be useful in your kingdom, that you can use us and you will use us in great ways. Thank you for that wonderful privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, we love you. We praise you now. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.